You're listening to WBH Radio. My name is William Holly, recording here at the beautiful campus of Brooklyn College. Special shout out to all the students here at the radio station. You can check them out at mywbcr.com. NBA free agency is finally here. The Los Angeles Lakers went big game hunting, landing the biggest catch of the offseason. Sunday, LeBron James opted to take his talents to the West Coast. He will be signing for 4 years at $153.3 million. When I saw this decision, I said, man, I am extremely proud of LeBron James. I'm proud of the king. In my opinion, this is the first time in his career he is making a move where there's some risk involved. The chips are not stacked in his favor. To me, this is the first time he's willing to take a risk. And for that, I say kudos to him. Kudos to him. See, as a king, we lead from the front. I don't want to see him chasing championships. I don't want to see him texting other players hoping to link up. No, you don't hitch your wagon to somebody else. You're the king. Hey, this is where I'm at. If you guys want to join in, great. If not, so be it. I'll keep trucking. And in my opinion, this is the first time, finally, he's reached a level where maybe he's content or more mature. Hey, guys, this is a decision I'm making, good, bad, or indifferent, and I can live with it. See, if we go back to when he went to Miami, well, D-Wade was over there. D-Wade, that's big bro. That's a nice, safe, comfortable landing spot for LeBron. His boy is there. His boy had just won a championship. There's no way they could have failed. And even outside of D. Wade, if you look upstairs in the Miami Heat front office, the Godfather's there. Armani suit, slick back here. The great Pat Riley, somebody that's did it as a player, as a coach, and as an executive. There's no way they could have failed in Miami. And then you look at his transition back to Cleveland. Even with that move, I think, you know, LeBron is surveying the landscape. It's like, well, I'm going home. Can't lose there. He said, yo, they got a kid at point guard. That boy Kyrie Irving is a bad boy. I could do some great things with him. And if you remember, when he went home, he wrote a letter in Sports Illustrated. And in that letter, he mentioned some of the Cavs personnel. He said Kyrie Irving, Tristan Thompson, Deion Waiters. He neglected to mention Andrew Wiggins, who was the number one pick that year. The Cleveland Cavaliers had just drafted him. See, by him neglecting to mention that guy, you could see the calculations. He's like, you know what? Maybe we could trade him and I'll bring in Kevin Love. See, again, that's LeBron James making sure every situation is perfect. Making sure it's going to work for him. The chips are stacked in his favor. But this LA move, that's fearlessness. It's not perfect. There was no premeditation from what I see. He just said, hey, this is where I want to be. This is where I want my family to be. It came out a few weeks ago that his son is signing on to play high school basketball in Los Angeles next year. He said, hey, this is where I want to be. Let's do it. That's the fearlessness I've been waiting for from LeBron James for a very long time. And I was proud of him that he finally made a decision like this. Even when we look at the timing of the announcement, yo, I didn't expect to hear LeBron James' decision for another 5 to 7 days. When he went to Miami, you know, that decision, the show with Jim Gray, that everybody killed him for, it came out on July 8th of that year, 7 days after free agency started. Again, that's LeBron James surveying the landscape, trying to make sure everything is perfect, trying to control every detail, seeing where this guy goes and that guy goes. When he returned back to Cleveland and he made that decision, he wrote that letter in Sports Illustrated. It came out on July 11th, 10 days after free agency started. So even the king announcing his decision to go to LA on the first day of free agency was a shock. There you go, King. Lead from the front, man. You don't have to chase any legacy or hitch your wagon to anybody. You're the king. Lead from the front. You make the decision. You be the first domino to fall. Man, I was extremely proud of him. There's questions in L.A. Magic Johnson, we love him. Hall of Fame player, million-dollar smile businessman. But, yo, he hasn't done anything from the executive position. Stephen A. reported that, yes, LeBron and Magic have seen each other in passing over the years, but that was the first time, the night of free agency, that was the first time the men sat down at a table. Wow. Wow. LeBron James just meeting that man and said, you know what? Freak it. I'll go with the Lakers. It's not the same calculation and premeditation that we've seen in years past, and I commend LeBron for taking a leap, willing to be vulnerable. As I was saying, the Lakers have questions. Magic Johnson, this is his first time as a president. Rob Pelinka is the general manager. A few years ago, he was a player agent. We don't know if he could get it done. Even these roster moves, I mean, they're cool. Shout out to Lance Stephenson getting another shot in the NBA. We love to see the Brooklyn native doing great things. That's cool. But Rajon Rondo? That's nothing to get excited about. Him and LeBron are the same guy. Ball-dominant individuals who struggle to shoot at times. I don't think that's going to be a success. But again, shout out to LeBron for willing to take that chance. You know, over the last couple of weeks, I found myself latching on to things that were said. Like, you know what? LeBron James would never go to L.A. because LaVar Ball is too close to that team. And we remember LaVar and LeBron had a little spat over the children. LeBron James can't control LaVar Ball, so he's not going to join that organization. He proved us wrong. You know what? LeBron James would never go to the West because it's going to be a harder road to the championship. He's going to have to play the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's going to have to play the Golden State Warriors. He's going to have to play the Utah Jazz. He would never go to the West Coast. It's easy on the East. I found myself agreeing with those narratives. LeBron likes to control everything. He likes to chip stack to his favor. He's not going to go to the West. Proved us wrong again. Proved us wrong again. Man, I was just extremely proud overall, man. Shout out to the king. Shout out to the king, man. Hopefully things work out for him. And if they don't, hope he's content. LeBron James was not the only free agency shooter drop. It came out that Paul George is going to stay with the Oklahoma City Thunder, signing for 4 years at $137 million. Now, I want it to be cool like the other shows. You know, sometimes they say, give us one word to describe how you feel about this situation. And I wanted to do that with the Paul George re-signing. But then I got up to word five and I said, damn, that ain't going to work. When I saw Paul George's returning to Oklahoma City, I was shocked, floored. The word fearless came up. The word honorable. And then loyalty. Let's take a look at Paul George's path, right? So his last year, he was with the Indiana Pacers. And he gave the Pacers a courtesy. He went upstairs to the front office. He said, look, guys, when free agency comes about, I'm not going to re-sign with your team. I'm a Palmdale, California native. I want to play for the Lakers. Now, he didn't have to do that. But that was a courtesy. That was downright honorable. He went to the organization and said, hey, guys, you might want to move me so you could put yourself in a position to get some good chips, some good pieces. He didn't want to leave them high and dry. And that's what the Pacers were able to do. They went and got Victor Oladipo. They went and got Sabonis. And that team should be all right for a couple of years in the East. Honorable on the part of Paul George. Then he gets to Oklahoma City, and they didn't have the greatest year. Everybody would consider their season full of underachievement with the talent of Russell Westbrook, who had just come off of MVP, and Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. they should have been better what they were. They should have definitely been better than a first-round knockout in the playoffs. But they weren't. Paul George saw his numbers diminish. His points per game went down. His field goal attempts went down. We were like, yo, man, that boy is out of here. He told you guys from the beginning he wanted to be in L.A. And who can blame him? He's a California native. Nobody could blame somebody for going home, especially when he told you on the front end. And even with all that, he decides to stay in Oklahoma? That's some loyalty. I was floored. Paul George, you had every right. You told the world, hey, I'm going to L.A. Acquire me if you want to. You had a down year statistically. We've seen that Russell Westbrook can stifle the talent around him. We've seen it with KD. We've seen it with James Harden. Those guys went on to other places and flourished. And Paul George said, I'm sticking it out with this guy and this team. After being ridiculed all year by the media for their underachievement, after getting bounced in the first round by our up-and-coming star and Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz, he chose to stick it out. Pass up his home team. Pass up the opportunity to play with LeBron James. And let's be real for a second. LeBron James brings a different kind of lights to your career. It's not just sports. Shoot, Boobie Gibson, his former teammate, got himself an R&B wife in a reality show playing alongside LeBron James. Iman Shumpert did the same. Married the beautiful Tiana Taylor, got him a VH1 reality show. And say what you want, Tristan Thompson got him a Kardashian too, playing alongside LeBron James. And Paul George passed up that opportunity? Not only did he pass it up, but it's going on right in his backyard. He said, nah, I'm going to stick it out with Russ. I was floored, man. Me and my guy DA, we always get on these guys for them wanting to take the easy route. Well, this is a case where Paul George is embracing the challenges. He didn't run from them. Shout out to him. And another word I threw in there was fearlessness. That goes to Sam Presti, general manager for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Paul George had a documentary the other day, and Sam Presti, they had a clip of him. He said, yo, I'm a big Tribe Called Quest fan. And they have a line that scared money don't make any money. And that's something we live by in the inner cities in the hood, right? So it was funny to see Sam Presti say that. But it's true. That small-time organization, Oklahoma City, they took a chance, a leap of faith, going to acquire Paul George after he told the world, hey, I want to be in L.A. Sam Presti had to go to his owner and say, yo, let's acquire this guy. Let's give up some valuable pieces. I think we can keep him. That's an organization betting on themselves. So when these small market franchises complain about their inability to land a free agent, you got to get creative. You got to do things in business that other teams might not necessarily have to do. You don't have Hollywood like LA. You don't have the Empire State Building like New York or the beautiful beaches like Miami. If you're a small market team, OKC, Minnesota, you got to get creative. You got to be willing to take a chance. That's how things work in American business, right? And the Oklahoma City Thunder are being rewarded for that fearlessness. Man, Paul George is sticking around in OKC. I really hope they could get it together, man. Sam Presti has only made one mistake. Sam Presti is the guy that drafted Russell Westbrook, that drafted James Harden. So he drafted the last two NBA regular season MVPs. And oh yeah, he drafted KD too. So he not only drafted the last two NBA regular season MVPs, but he drafted the last two finals MVPs in Kevin Durant. They've done a great job on that front. The only mistake they've ever made is that in the coaching ranks. You don't build a million-dollar race car like you've done with the roster, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kevin Durant, all these great players. You don't build that type of roster and then hand it over to a teenage driver or a novice, somebody making their first stab at professional coaching in Billy Donovan or Scotty Brooks. Nah, you got to go get somebody that is just as qualified to do the job as those players are. And that's the only misstep the Oklahoma City Thunder have made, in my opinion. Man, free agency has been off the hook. Another domino fell the other day. Had people in a frenzy. Had people saying, man, I'm done with the NBA. I saw my man Coach Baker said, the NBA is turning into AAU ball. The best players are just lining up alongside each other. And that was when it came out that DeMarcus Cousins will be joining the Golden State Warriors. DeMarcus Cousins is going to sign for 1 year at $5.3 million. Now, to you and I, that's a lot of money. But in NBA annals, that's damn near welfare. And I was interested to see how Boogie Cousins' free agency was going to go this year. Like, he recently tore his Achilles. But before that, forget the Achilles injury. When he was healthy, I was interested to see how it was going to go for him. Because you know what? In these leagues, the owners are quick to humble these players. The owners are quick to show you, hey. We're the ones that really run this show. Now, over the last couple of years, Boogie has played for two teams. He's played for a number of coaches. You know, it's rumored that he's been responsible for a lot of them being removed. Boogie has had dust-ups with members of the media. When he was in Sacramento, he went after a writer one time in the locker room. He's led the league in technicals for the last couple of years. Seemingly just been out of control at times. And I was interested to see, when your time is up, when your time comes for you to sit across the table from these owners and ask them for some money, they're going to show you exactly what they thought of your antics over the last couple of years. And that's what's happening. Zach Lowe, a writer for ESPN, he said prior to the injury, there were teams that had a no Boogie Cousins policy. Now, somebody that's averaged 25 points and 12 rebounds, we don't want him in our building. It's not about skill. It's not about talent. So I was interested to see. Now, he tore his Achilles and the market dried up. His team is going to say because of the injury. I'm going to say because of his attitude. And he ends up signing with the Golden State Warriors at a discount. Now, people say, oh, this isn't fair. I think this could actually backfire on Golden State. I'm not thrilled about this move. Let's take a look. Why is he joining Golden State at such a low price? Now, he said he didn't have any other offers. Well, I'm sure somebody else might have gave you 5.3 at one year. That's nothing. But he's choosing to go to Golden State so he can play under the championship lights. And what many people call a prove it year. It's like, yo, I'm going to show you, world. I'm going to show you how good I am. And then you guys are going to give me a max deal. And I ask now, what's that going to mean for Golden State, though? That can be a scary proposition. See, the other stars, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, these guys have been paid. They're secure in who they are and their role on the team, and they're just about collecting championships. How is that going to work when DeMarcus comes in there and he's on a mission to show the world that, hey, I deserve a max contract? How's that going to work when Steph Curry scoring 20 points, KD got 30, Klay got 20, and Boogie got 8 points? Is he going to be content? I don't know. In fact, I don't think so. Putting that dynamic in your locker room can be detrimental to that championship culture. And Boogie Cousins, they talk about his numbers 25 and 12. I think they're fraudulent. I'll give you another number. Boogie Cousins led the league in turnovers. From a big man position, that is horrendous. He's not even a primary ball handler. He got more turnovers than Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Steph Curry, LeBron James, guys who have their hands on the ball all the time. How is that even possible? I tell you guys, don't get caught up in them numbers about Boogie, man. 25 and 12 on a bad team. He's a looter and a riot. 5 turnovers. The points just have to come from somewhere. On bad teams, they just throw the ball into him. Okay, he scores. But when you're on a good team and opportunities only come by a select few times, will he be able to deliver on demand? I don't think so. I don't think so. So not just this year, but for the rest of Boogie's career, it's going to be interesting. They might treat him like Rondo, just give him one-year deals for the rest of his life, or treat him like Nate Robinson. People that the NBA never really put their arms around because of their personality. NBA's teams were unwilling to trust them with long-term contracts. But I'm telling you, alongside from his attitude, Boogie's gameplay is fraudulent as well. I give you some other guys who had big numbers on bad teams. Kevin Love, Chris Bosh. When you're doing it under championship lights, when you're doing it where select few opportunities come and you're expected to deliver on demand, those guys weren't able to do so. Kevin Love was in Minnesota going 30 and 20. He couldn't do that next to LeBron because it's a little bit different. The possessions mean a little bit more. All I need to know about Boogie Cousins is that his team got better after his injury. They went 21 and 13 without him. That's all I need to know about a player. Hold on, your team got better without you? That's bad news, man. Don't get caught up in those numbers, guys. It doesn't mean that Golden State is going to take over the world. No. They're going to have to work to fit him in. And I'm interested to see if he's going to really get on board with that championship culture where it's not about numbers. Boogie's looking to get a max deal. Is he going to be able to fall in line and just grab his rebounds and do the things that guys like Andrew Bogut and JaVale McGee have done over the last couple of years? Or is he going to come in there and try to get his at the expense of guys like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson? I think that has the potential to be explosive, man. Those guys can implode. Draymond Green is the leader of that organization, that team. He's a fiery guy. So is Boogie, man. I see them dudes coming to a head. Draymond sets the tone. Is Boogie going to be able to fall in line? Can't wait to see. Yo, joining us right now, WBH Radio. Friend of the show, my man Fenton. Yo, Fen, what up?
What's going on? Thanks for having me.
Yo, this is the NBA free agency you've been waiting on. The frenzy is going off. It started on Sunday with LeBron James. Man, I'll let you have the floor. LeBron James taking his talents to the West Coast.
That was the worst move in all the free agency that I've seen such far. Unless he's looking for early summer vacation start time, that I just can't wrap my mind around that decision, honestly.
You're not fond of him, why, from a basketball perspective?
Yeah, basketball perspective, that's not a good basketball fit team. That team is not a good basketball fit for LeBron. And that coach, that conference, is not a good basketball fit for LeBron. If he's worried about what people's perception of him is and his quote-unquote legacy is for the game and stuff like that, he could drag any four players with him to the finals in the East. He might be a one and done in the playoffs in the West if he even makes it to the playoffs. Like, we've seen what these young guys in Utah just did to what we thought would have been a top five team in the West in the Oklahoma City Thunder. They took them out, you know, first round. So I just can't imagine what LeBron expects to do with that ragtag bunch of players that they.
Yo, it is amazing that you say this. Now, Fenton, you have not heard what I recorded on the first half of this podcast, But what I said is I am extremely proud of LeBron James for, first time in his career, he's kind of willing to take a risk. It's not a guarantee they're going to be successful in L.A. LeBron, as the
guaranteed in Miami. I mean, he did pull two All-Stars with him, but at the same time, it was three All-Stars and a bunch of minimum salary guys, like guys at the end of their career. Just hanging on, you know. It wasn't a guarantee either. And he had to go up against Boston, which Boston beat him the first time around. And if not for injury, Boston would have beat him the last 2 years afterwards. This is not the first time he's taking a risk in his career. So let's not say he's pulling up his big boy pants on and going out west and trying to tan out west. No. This is a business decision outside of basketball.
Hold on. I don't even want to get bogged down with this stuff in Miami. Miami was a safe place because he was joining his friend, his big brother, LeBron James. It was a safe place. It's not like this move to L.A. Now, what I'm saying is, as a king, this is what you're supposed to do. You leave from the front. You don't go texting other players and trying to stack the chips in your favor. I am excited and I am proud of LeBron for finally reaching a stage where things aren't perfect. And he's going to L.A., and, hey, the Western Conference is stacked, but you know what? Just make it work.
And then you're going to kill him when he gets knocked out of the first round.
Nah,
you're going to kill him for not making the playoff.
No,
fighting to get to the AC. You're going to kill him for that.
No.
Like, I don't understand. I can't. That's not a basketball fit for a team. That's not the best place for LeBron. That's not. And we know what works best with LeBron's game. LeBron is going to facilitate the offense. He's going to penetrate. He's going to collapse the defense. He needs to be surrounded by shooters. He doesn't have a single shooter on that squad. Nobody on that team, I think, shoots over 40% from three or close to it. That's a terrible basketball decision on his part.
And that's why I love it, man. It's time to be fearless. But I want to ask you about some of the additions. They acquired the LeBron James nemesis, a Brooklyn native, somebody we love here, Lance Stephenson.
Shout out to Lance out of L.A., man. I'm about to tell Peter, man, we out.
For real, man. We got some friends that know Lance. Tell him to get us courtside next to Denzel and Jack Nicholson. But I want to ask you about the Rondo acquisition, man. I love playoff Rondo, but him and LeBron, they're the same player.
And they have another rookie player that's exactly the same in Lonzo Ball. They have three of the players that do the exact same thing. And if they want to try to get Kawhi over there, Kawhi is a better shooter than LeBron, Rondo, and Ball. But still, they're going to be four players doing the exact same thing. That's why I continue to say this is not a good basketball fit for LeBron. It was just a poor decision on his part.
What do you think was the motivation for this decision then? LeBron James has made great basketball decisions. He teamed up with D-Wade. He went home at a time when Kyrie was there, and he saw a way to acquire Kevin Love. What do you think is the reason he has made his decision? Because you and I both agree, and I'm sure LeBron knows, it's not the perfect fit basketball-wise. What's the motivation for the decision, you think?
I think it was something that had to do outside of basketball. I think it had to do with his ventures outside of the sport. And I guess he wants to be closer to those. I mean, that's just what I'm hearing from the media. I don't know per se, but I don't honestly believe. Or it could be his school's out west is better off for his son, and he wants to be close by his son while he's going to college or going to high school. It could be that. That could be motivating. But, I mean, you can send your kids to any top prep school in any state, and there's going to be a good basketball program there because LeBron went to St. Mary's, and look what happened to him. So I don't know what's the decision, but this cannot be a basketball decision. There could be some ownership, you know, stake under the table, deals for him. I don't know, but the Buss family, that's their baby. So I don't see them giving up that. I honestly, it's been racking my mind ever since I saw that come out that he went to L.A. I cannot imagine what would be the driving factor to get him there. He hasn't come out and said it publicly what it was. So till then, we don't know.
We don't know, man. I just think the king is finally at peace. He wants to be on the beach and end his career there. But listen, LeBron James, who had the beach?
Go back to South Beach, man. That would have been a better fit.
F South Beach. But, yo, LeBron wasn't the most surprising move of free agency for me. I was shocked to see Paul George sticking around in OKC after a down year statistically. They got bumped in the first round. And if you go back to when Paul George left Indiana, he told the world, hey, I want to go home to L.A. Yo, fam, what do you make him stay in Oklahoma?
shout out to the executives and the ownership and the city and his teammates over in OKC, because I can't figure out a reason to stay in Oklahoma City. And I mean, and he left money on the table, quote unquote, but he can make that up later on in his contract. That's not an issue. That's a non-issue right now. So I honestly can't see what's the reason to stay there. Maybe with the whole hoopla with LeBron in L.A., maybe he wanted to avoid that, and maybe he wanted to do his own thing outside of LeBron. That could be a reason why he stayed in OKC, because he probably had some insight as to what LeBron was doing, because you heard the rumblings about LeBron contacting KD, so LeBron probably contacted Paul George, like, hey, what you doing? You coming out here? That might be the move for me. And Paul George might have said, like, you know what? Nah, I don't want to be like your Robin. I want to stay here and do my own thing with Russ. I don't know why he would stay there. To me, I mean, it's a decent squad. Hopefully, when they get their full acclimate of players healthy, they're going to make a better run at it, because they were doing really, really well before their defensive glue guy got hurt. What's the two guard's name? I forgot.
Andre Robertson?
Yeah, Andre Robertson. Their starting two guard, Andre Robertson, he got hurt, and then after that, the team went on they went backwards, because they were moving forwards, especially in the Western Conference. They were on pace to challenge the Rockets at Golden State for the top three seed, and they just went on a slide after the All-Star break, which was surprising how one player could derail the whole movement of an organization. But, yeah, that one important piece, man, they're working. But let's see what they do next year. I honestly hope they're probably going to shock a lot of people. They may be top three in the West next year.
Yo, I was surprised, and you know, I thought he wanted to go home, and then especially with LeBron going there, you know the type of lights and party that LeBron brings. I mean, it got Booby Gibson, a R&B wife. It got Iman Shumpert, a reality show. Tristan Thompson got a Kardashian. So I can't believe that Paul George passed that up. My only explanation would be is that he's doing something that we don't give the young athletes credit for. And that's being loyal, and that's the first sign of adversity. He's not running.
How is he being loyal by signing to another team? I mean, he was traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder
He's being loyal to Russell.
He forced his way out of there. He didn't say, you know what, guys, you know, it'd be better off you guys to trade me, because I'm not sure what I'm going to do in the future, or I'm guaranteed to sign in L.A. He's forced to trade. He had 2 years left on his deal before he left. You know what I mean?
He's being loyal to a team that took a chance on him, Fenton. That's what I'm referring to.
Indiana took a chance on him. The lottery, that's the chance. That's what you're doing with your future. When you're a bad team, you get a high lottery pick. And what they did with that, they turned it into Paul George. They developed Paul George. They put a team around Paul George. They had a winning team. And then when he went down with that gruesome injury outside of playing for Indiana, USA Basketball, the team stuck with him, came back, and he was healthy. And then what did he do? He finagled his way out of there. So I don't know if it's loyalty. I don't know if it's him sticking it out in the West or sticking it out with OKC. I just think, now that you mentioned all the limelight and the hoopla LeBron brings, I think he's staying out of that because he's not built for that. Where was he thriving in Indiana where, honestly, like, who's checking for Indiana? You got people in Indiana. OKC, another small market team. We don't really talk about them or see them unless they're on primetime. And how many games they're going to have on primetime? They're not, like, the focal point. They're not, like, the main focal point that we get to see. There's not a ton of eyes on them. Russell Westbrook makes headlines because of the things he says and he does. He puts himself out there. Paul George, from what I see, he likes to avoid it because he's had his mishaps in the public eye, and he looks like somebody that's shying away from that. So now that you brought that to my attention, I can really focus in on it. I think that he went to stay with OKC to avoid the attention, trying to be a big fish in a small pond kind of thing.
Wow, that's an interesting take, man. I think in today's day and age with all the social media, I thought all the kids wanted the limelight. That's an interesting perspective. But I want to move along and ask you about the other big free agency name to drop, and that was Boogie Cousins joining the Golden State Warriors. I see people online like, yo, I'm done with the NBA. The chips are stacked in their favor. It's just too much. It's a AAU roster. It's an NBA Jam roster. What do you think of that move with Boogie going to Golden State?
I think that's a great move for Boogie. I think that's a great move for him and setting himself up in a position where he's guaranteed – he's a playoff, couple rounds in the playoffs, because he's yet to play in the playoffs. So a couple rounds in the playoffs, or even set himself up to, you know, walk away with a championship ring at the end of the year, I think that's a good thing for him. He's coming off an Achilles injury for a 7-footer who's 270, 290 pounds. You know, that's going to, you know, kind of hamper him with the coming back. I would hope that he takes his time and does rush it back, because honestly, the team doesn't need him. So I think that's a good move for him. And if he can stick around the team and not, I don't want to say he's a distraction, but I want to say that he sticks around the team and sees what they're about, and they're about winning, and, you know,
hold on. Hold on. Let me ask you this. We agree that Boogie is going to Golden State because he knows he'll be playing meaningful basketball, and this will be an opportunity to show the league that he's worthy of a max deal in the future, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So let me ask you. Contract. Okay, so this is like a prove year. He wants to show the world who he is. The Golden State Warriors about team basketball, championship basketball. How's Boogie going to feel when Steph has 20, KD has 20, Klay got 17, and Boogie has 8 points? Is he going to be content with the win, and but still he's not able to show the world his talents and his skills? Is he going to be content just being one of the guys when he's in a prove-it year looking to get a max deal?
He's played that role before. I'm not sure if you forget where he went to college and the collection of talent that's usually on Kentucky and Coach Calipari teams, but he's been in that position before. He's also played as a member of Team USA, but he's not even the top, I want to say, 8 person on that team. So he's been in a role where he has to be one of the guys, and Team USA, he's coming off the bench. I'm pretty sure playing in garbage time minutes. I'm not really familiar, or I can't really recall exactly his role on Team USA, but it's not a big role, because in the international game, it plays like the NBA game now. Shooting, spreading the floor, big wings to just spread it out, which he can do, but he's not a starter on that team. So you gotta understand that he is familiar with that role. He better get comfortable with it, because that's going to be his role, because he can't come in day one and start the season in training camp. There's no way he's going to be ready for that.
Hold on, Fenta.
Got that Kobe treatment.
Yo, but you... Oh my gosh!
I got faith in Boogie, man, and Boogie we trust.
You brought up Team USA basketball, which is a carnival. You brought up college when all the kids are starving. They holding on to all of Calipari's words and whatever it takes to get the paycheck. You don't see any downside. You think Boogie, somebody who has led the league in turnovers. He's led the league in technical fouls.
And so has Draymond Green, and Draymond Green is a 3-time champion.
Okay, those are 2 firecrackers. That's Draymond Green's locker room. You think Boogie's going to fall in line and be content? When has he shown us that since he's gotten in the league? He's going after referees. He's going after media members. I was so interested to see.
I honestly think this year in New Orleans, he was more of a team player. Even when the team wasn't doing well initially when the season started, him and some of the other statesmen on that team, Rajon Rondo and Anthony Davis, had to sit down with the whole team and the coaching staff and say, what do we need to do to do better? And Boogie Cousins wasn't in opposition to that. He was one of the people leading that force in order to get the team together, to motivate them. And that's when they went on that uphill swing before he got injured. So I think he's capable of falling in line and being a part of the team and being a helpful piece into that championship run, where I think they're going to have next year.
Wow, man. All right, there you go.
Stop hating on Boogie, man.
I was waiting to see this offseason. Even besides the injury, I thought the NBA was going to really humble this young man. They were going to really show them who's boss when he gets to these tables and he's asking for money. But we'll see how that turns out. I want to ask you, any other free agents out there on your radar?
Well, the ones that pretty much been signed, I was shocked to hear a report that Dwight Howard wanted to play with the Golden State Warriors, and they turned him down, because I honestly thought that was a perfect landing spot for him.
Right.
And obviously, Boogie Cousins took that role. And now that I see he's going to play with the Wizards, and the Wizards have been acquiring some talent, well, some name players. Recently, they just got Dwight Howard. They just signed. Oh damn! I just missed his name. They just signed Jeff Green, so they're picking up the pieces to where they left off at, trying to be a contender in the East. So that's another team to watch out for. But The only free agent that I haven't seen, like, really find a landing spot is the center for the Houston Rockets, Clint Capella. Right. They need to lock him up. They want to make a run with it because it looks like people from the Rockets are dipping out. Trevor Ariza, one of their starting players the whole year, one of the reasons why they have that team and they can function the way they do, he just left for Phoenix.
Right.
So I want to see what happens, man. Free agency, this is like one of the best times of year in the season. This is the playoffs.
That's it.
All right, man. You gave me some stuff to think about, man. We'll see. We'll see. But
we trust.
That's it, man. Yo, thanks, fam.
Yeah.
That's WBH Radio. Your boy William Holly. We out.